A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire, from Pope Honorius to the death of Rudolf. It was beginning to seem as the fall of the Carolingian dynasty was happening all over again. Even as had happened in those dark days, Europe was united in name only. Each country was ruled by different kings, often in conflict with one another. The universal emperor Rudolf had not yet been crowned, and the universal pope couldn't even control Italy. These days, however, were not long in remaining, although the people of Europe might well have wished that these days would have remained. Before the rise of Pope Boniface VIII, three more popes would set in the Vatican, and another emperor would rise to power following Rudolf's death. Nevertheless, the days are important in understanding how and perhaps why the power structure of Europe was changing. The old republican ways had died with Caesar, the imperial ways had died with Gregory VII, and the papal way would not hold on sway forever. Honorius IV succeeded Martin IV and was well received in Rome amid the hope he might loose the binds that had held the papacy prisoners to the French Angevins. He was, as several previous popes had been, elected senator for life and was one of only a handful of popes at the time to reside in Rome. In his policy towards Sicily and Naples, he again attempted to reunite the kingdoms under Charles's heir, Charles II. The situation was delicate, although Honorius didn't treat it as such. Peter the Great's oldest son, this is from Spain, Alfonso III had become king of Aragon, while his younger son James was crowned king of Sicily. However, Charles's son, Charles II, had been captured in battle, was being held prisoner. Charles had agreed to renunciate his rights to Sicily in exchange for the kingdom of Naples and his freedom. But Honorius was furious at Charles for attempting to make the concession. He refused to lift Alfonso's excommunication and would not ratify the treaty that Charles had just signed. Among Honorius's other acts was his condemnation of the dissident sect known as the Apostolics, encouraging their persecution. He also resumed negotiations for the coronation of Rudolf, but the pope died only a month after negotiations resumed. Again, Rudolf was disappointed. He would again have to wait, and wait he did, for there was not even another pope for nearly a year. The electors argued when illness fell upon the cardinals. A suspension was ordered. It was not until February 1288 that Nicholas IV was elected. The first Franciscan to be elected, Pope Nicholas was a partisan of the important political family of Colonna, who had descended from the old counts of Tusculum. He was elected senator for life and repaid the Colonnas, appointing them to important positions in the papal states and in Rome. He attempted to ally Castile and with France against Aragon, but Philip the Fair had no real desire to embark on a crusade in Spain. Nevertheless, Pope Nicholas and Charles II crowned King of Sicily after he agreed to pay homage to the Pope and not to take any office in Rome other than or the Papal States. Since James held Sicily, the coronation was merely a declaration of the Pope's support, but he would have to fight for Sicily if he wanted it. By 1289, Edward Longshanks had negotiated a peaceful settlement between Charles II, Philip the Fair, and since his brother James was actually the king, the treaty merely separated Alfonso from his brother, cutting off any other military support that Alfonso might have afforded him. James, then, was left to fend for himself against the kingdom of Naples. However, fortunes changed when Alfonso died in 1291 without an heir. James became the king of Aragon as well as Sicily, thus placing the army of Aragon at his disposal. The year 1299 was not a good year for Pope Nicholas. Not only did James inherit Aragon, but the kingdom of Acre in Palestine was dealt a final blow. The fall of Acre in May 1291 signaled the end of Christian dominance in the Holy Land. Like the fall of Jerusalem, the Catholics were largely to blame themselves. One out of every nine people in Acre was said to be a prostitute. The decadence and petty infighting amongst the Catholics made them oblivious to the spies within the city, and the Islamic armies believed to have known everything that happened within the walls. When the Crusaders sent word back to Nicholas of the desperate need for new soldiers, the people had already grown tired of the Crusades and were well aware of the corrupt motives behind the Pope's request. As a result, only a few hundred soldiers sailed for Acre, and identifying them by beards and dress. Many Christians, those who wore beards, were also killed. Egypt, which had tolerated the presence of Acre in return for peace in Egypt, was outraged and demanded the perpetrators be handed over for execution. Acre tried to appease Egypt, but after much bickering, they did nothing. A month later, an army of 200,000 Muslims from Egypt arrived outside the gates of Acre. Within a little more than a month, the city fell. The Catholics knew they could do nothing but to fight to the death for the Muslims, for not to be taken prisoners. The city fell May the 18th, 1291. Nicholas could little to stir the passions of the people when the news arrived of Acre's fall. The Crusades, for all their intents and purposes, were over. Nicholas had been content with ruling Europe. He sent out missionaries to Kublai Khan in Mongol China, who was even then consorting with the young Marco Polo. Nicholas began to resume the discussions for Rudolf's coronation. After the delayed coronation had often been because of the death of a pope, but this time it was the death of Rudolf, which was to ensure the coronation never occurred. He died on July the 15th, 1291. Less than a year later, Nicholas IV followed him to the grave. Now, Rudolf had been a good emperor, but not a strong one. The princes of Germany preferred it that way. They still didn't desire a strong emperor, and they feared what might happen. The office became hereditary, so they opposed the election of Rudolf's heir, Albert. They agreed that they should not elect one of their own for fear of creating more strife. The result was similar to the events which had the double election of Richard and Alfonso. Adolf, the Count of Nassau, was a vassal of the King of Bohemia. Considering that Rudolf had gone to war to oust Ottokar of Bohemia, one might have assumed that the electors would have thought better of nominating one of Bohemia's vassals. But Adolf offered the electors many possessions and rights that they could not refuse. He was elected King of the Romans, the Emperor Designate, in May of 1292. Within a few years, the electors would indeed regret their decisions. Now, this leads us to the final piece here, the little bits and pieces that are going to come in, and then a summary of the period before we then turn to a new and powerful pope, which would be Pope Boniface. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.